So in this mini-sode, I've kind of taken some information from two separate articles that are somewhat related. So one of them is about negative thought forms and depression and kind of what we can do about those. And then the next one is our 7 steps coming to clarity from confusion and getting out of suffering. Welcome to Conversations Minisodes. My name is Amy Adams. I'm the editor of Conscious Life Space and the broadcaster of this podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Minisodes episode 2 of Conversations Podcast. And in the Minisodes, it's just me and you. Versus me, you, and a guest in the longer episodes, which are on alternating weeks. This is my second mini-sode, and something that I'd like to do is to invite you to email me with topics or questions or stories about anything that we cover in the conscious life space sphere, which is actually quite a bit because I'm interested in getting information out to people that I have and life lessons that I've experienced. And then I'm also interested in your life lessons and experiences because everybody can benefit from all of our experiences. So I would invite you to email hello@consciouslife.guru. So today's episode is going to actually, I'm going to look back at today. We're going to look at getting out of a state of confusion and moving to clarity and coming to peace with our decisions. It's kind of a decision-making process. I was going to also address negative thought forms, and I did record a portion of that, but after listening to it, it doesn't seem really clear, so I'll save that for another day, and we'll just stick to the confusion and get on confused. Okay. One of the steps to solving any kind of problems or issues is that when we have a problem or issue, we must recognize it so we understand what it is, because if we don't even recognize what it is, how can we ever work towards a solution towards it? We don't want to just recognize it and then be like, oh, well, you know, we're never going to do anything about it, because then it's never going to go away. Confusion is like a sandstorm in the desert. Confusion to me is actually really caused by the fact that we don't want something to be the way that it is. And we're having difficulty with acceptance of this. Now, obviously it could be other things, and I would hope that you would like comment or email me and make a conversation about this, because that's what we're here for, is like to all like have a discussion and, you know, learn together. I mean, that's the whole point, right? Now, okay, I'm going to read through the steps. Okay, so once you've identified that you're confused, that's actually really a great place to be, because it means that you're like, oh, I'm confused. But you want to be not confused. So now the way to do that is I'm just going to go through this really fast and then expand upon it a little bit with an example. Okay, so you're going to first quiet the mind. And that means just to sit with your eyes closed, breathing deeply. Just try not to think about anything. If you're hearing sounds of traffic or birds flying by or your dog's footprint on the floor, just let it all go. Listen to those. That's actually, you don't have to try to like push those noises outside of you. Listen to them. Listen to the traffic. Listen to the dog pitter-patters of the feet or the kitty cat. Listen to something outside of you. and just let it pass through you. It is there. It passes by. Then your step two is you're going to surrender to what is. And then step three, you are accepting things now because you've completed step two as they truly are. And that's truly with a capital T-R-U-L-Y. Accepting things as they truly are, not how we want them to be. So that might create hurt or feelings of disdain or not disdain, a lot of discomfort, feeling terrible for a moment. But ultimately, those moments pass. So fighting what truly is and denial, that is what creates suffering. And then the suffering doesn't pass when we continue to fight against something. I'm going to actually make an example of like a physical injury. So as to illustrate my point for fighting what truly is and denial. Because say for instance that you broke your arm. Now, you're a painter. And now you can't paint houses or you can't paint paintings. You know, it's dangerous. You can't climb up a ladder. So you can't do it. Now, by fighting what truly is means that you don't take the time to heal. You climb up the ladder anyway. You hurt your arm more and then you create more suffering. So instead of taking the time to heal yourself, you actually injure yourself further. Emotionally, it's the same thing. You can try to fight a situation in your mind and just end up in a place where you are suffering. And what we want to do when we want to get rid of confusion is we want to quiet the mind. We want to surrender to what is, and we want to accept things as they truly are, not how we want them to be in this very given moment, because we only have this moment right now. It doesn't mean that you're not going to deal with something. It doesn't mean that you're just going to accept things and like lay down and die over it. That's not what I'm talking about here. This is like preparing yourself for your next action steps. Step four is you're stepping outside of the issue and you're trying to view it from at least two different vantage points. So we have your first vantage point, which is you and your experience of it. And then you can think about that. And then think about it from another point of view where possibly you put yourself into someone else's shoes. For instance, if you were, think about a person, that you respect or admire. It could be a friend, it could be a parent, it could even be your child. Doesn't matter who it is. It can be somebody that you really value their opinion. So take a look at it, put yourself in their shoes and look at a situation. How would they view it? But the next step is to release your will. There is a guy, Ralph Blum, I don't know how do you say his name. It's B-L-U-M. He wrote a book about ruins, the oracle system. It's actually a really great book. But one of the things that he says in there, I can't remember which rune it is, but it says, I will to will thy will. That is really surrendering. I will to will thy will. And what is thy will? That is the higher good. You can call it like whatever, or universe, or creator, or not. It doesn't matter. Like as a higher aspect of your own self, your own higher consciousness that rises above the survival mode of things. Release your will. I will to will thy will. Because your higher self, your higher being, has a knowingness. If you quiet your mind and surrender to what is, you will get in touch with that part of you and connect with yourself, connect with your higher being. It's not really, it doesn't, I mean, you don't have to be like, oh God, it's, so whatever you want to call that God, fine. Doesn't matter. Release your will. And once you release your will, then you can ask your higher self or whatever you want to call your higher power, what is right action? X, which I'm calling it X, which means X equals your higher self or whatever you want to call your higher power, universe, creator, God, source, Mr. Jones, etc. So then you're going to ask X, what is right action? So what is the right action for me now? Then you're going to allow the answer to present itself. When you kind of do this whole like surrendering thing and trying to stopping to force your will and accepting things as they are, it doesn't mean that you don't do anything. It doesn't mean like that you're just going to continue on it, like in a mode of confusion. It doesn't mean that you're going to let other people decide for you, because if you fail to actually listen for the answer or fail to make a decision, then others decide for you, then it could really be detrimental to you. You have free will, but you allow others to take that away when they decide for you. I also think that this does not mean writing lists and filling your mind with obsessive thoughts about the issue or choice. Yes, of course, you can write pros and cons, like if you're making a career decision or something like that. But what this is really an exercise in getting in touch with your higher self, with your own, and your higher self is really like your own intuition. It's like listening to guidance, looking for signs and symbols. I mean, sometimes, and it doesn't mean like you're going to sit down and for 15 minutes you're going to think about this and then you're asking for an answer. You might not get the answer until later in the night or maybe the next morning, like, because it might be during, or you'll wake up because you had a dream that was very clear with what to do. So, I mean, there's different ways that the answer can present itself to you. It can be like a, like if you give symbols a lot of meaning, you might see something. Like say for instance, you think that butterflies represent rebirth. And so, you're walking down the street and it's like off season or something and you see a butterfly, then okay, so you see a butterfly, it's off season, then it's like, hey, well, okay, rebirth, I'm gonna go take that new job, I'm going to be reborn into a new career, and just making up stuff as I go, obviously, but for examples. But it could be signs or symbols. It could be, I don't know. Sometimes you might even see, literally see a sign or a symbol. You might see a billboard that has an advertisement for something. It might be a song that you know. You might hear a song and the words resonate with you and you find the answer there. You might just even get a thought that pops into your head. There's so many ways that these things can present themselves. I mean, it's really on a lot of your own belief system of how you connect to your intuition. So now I have something else that I want you to think about and to reflect upon. And it almost seems like when I'm reading this, it almost seems like contradictory, but it's not. Or if you think it's contradictory, you tell me by communicating with me. So whatever path you choose, you always end up where you need to be. And sometimes you just might take the detour. So that's pretty much like the worst thing that could happen. So you're presented, like say for instance, you're confused about something, you have to make a choice. And you make a choice. Maybe you were impatient or you didn't listen. or maybe you're so disconnected that you're not, you haven't trained your mind and body to know what's going on because you're so bombarded with other information or for whatever reason. The worst thing that could happen is that you have to pivot later on and take the other choice. And that choice might be made for you, or it may be you making the choice. So the whole point is too, is that once you do decide something, wherever you go, there you are. That's like a Jon Kabat-Zinn, I think is his name. I love that quote. Anyway, so whatever path you choose, you always end up where you need to be. Sometimes you just take detours, and there's really nothing wrong with a detour. That's it for 7 Steps of Coming to Clarity from Confusion. So I hope that you that this made sense to you, because I feel like I was rambling a little bit. I really would love to hear any comments or opinions about this. I mean, different minisodes are going to examine different things, so there is not really like a steady topic. And I'll actually tell you, like, the reason why I chose this topic today is because next week I have an interview that you'll be hearing with Robin Reynolds, and she does a lot of art journaling and as a healing practice and a creative practice, but she also does writes poetry and presents spoken word poetry. Last week we had Tammy Hatherhill, and she talked about working in the prison system and suffering a lot of trauma and being in riots and her healing journey. And so this week in the minisode, I wanted to talk about some ways that we can come to heal our own selves by addressing our issues, and not by doing meditation or yoga. Those are obviously really great methods, but these are just like little ideas of how you can get unconfused. Is that even a word? And also how you can deal with some kind of negative thought forms, that you can just kind of deal with things in the moment. So, and the next week when Robin comes and talks about her poetry and her healing journey through journaling and poetry. So I think that's the idea. So it's all kind of connected. All right. I'm sure this makes no sense, and I gotta just shut up now. So thank you so, so much for being here today and listening to this mini-sode number 2. I hope that you will join me again, and definitely come back next week and listen to the interview with Robin. And of course, you can listen to the previous podcast episodes also. And I would really like to invite you to subscribe on iTunes or Radio Public. We need to support this work. All right. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching the video. If you're listening, please review on iTunes or on Spreaker, wherever you're listening to this. Please leave a review. It is so, so, so important, because the more reviews and feedback we get, we know where we're going, if what the message is resonating with our audience, and it tells like all those algorithms and whatever to, like, you know, present our podcast. So the more people who listen and know about it, the more people, you know, am I making any sense? Probably not. Okay. So thanks so much. And until next time, take care.